And we're back on the hunt with Supernatural Season 6, Episode 18, Frontierland. I'm Chris Barrows.
And my name's Dan Cummins. Welcome back to the best Supernatural podcast on the air. Howdy, Chris. Going back to the past again, buddy. Time travel is not something they do a lot in this show, Chris, but they do it often enough. And at this point, we know in Season 6, there really aren't any rules anymore. Right. Balthasar said that just a couple of episodes. Time travel used to be reserved for emergencies, Chris. We went back to see Mary and John Winchester because there was a rogue angel out to kill them. Right. Yep. Pretty good reason to go into the past. In this episode, there's a good reason for it, Chris, but it's not world ending in terms of like. I mean, Castiel certainly doesn't seem that concerned, right? This is certainly like a mission for the boys because they're after Eve. And in that respect, it's very important. It just doesn't feel like as dire as maybe the last time we time traveled. But nonetheless, we're going back into the past. And Chris, I just want to point at the top here. This is another 9. This is the 4th 9 in this season. I'm shocked. I did not remember this many great episodes in Season 6. And I think just it goes to show you that following up on Season 5 is a really hard thing to do. And you actually kind of forget the quality that you get in Season 6 because you have to compare the two. And this episode for me, it's a really fun episode. You know, I think for the most part, that's really what it is. Like I said, We need something in this episode to defeat Eve, the big bad of this season, right? So you do have that A-plot. More than anything, it's just a lot of fun. It's just like the French Mistake. It's a really fun episode, and that's why it gets that high score.
Yeah, I have to say there's a lot of episodes in this season that have surprised me. This one I remembered enjoying when I saw the name. I don't think I realized it was a Season 6 episode just in thinking back. It didn't feel... And again, I think that's part of the unfortunate side effect of being the season after Season 5, like you said. Right. But this one is interesting, to say the least. It is a plot. It is a plot with a lot of B plot fun. I think that's the kind of the way that I think about it, because what they're doing, I mean, especially Dean in particular, who's just loves going back to the Wild West in this episode. He's having a lot of fun the entire time. Not that Sam's not, but Sam's definitely more about business. I think it's fair to say. And in this one, by the way, Frontierland aired April 22nd, 2011. Guy Norman B. And as you noted, it is a 9.0. So in this one, the boys are back in time in 1861 to collect ashes of a phoenix. Now, what I loved about this was they found stuff in Samuel Colt's journal, which was in the Campbell Library. Now, you have to imagine, I didn't think about this until today. You've got the Campbell Library. You've got Dad's journal. You've got what will eventually be the bunker, right? So there's a variety of these sources of information, and they're starting to amass a decent set of knowledge from these places. I have to think they took the stuff from this library. Like they didn't just leave it there, because there's no more Campbells left at this point, you know?
Right.
And they did have a neat little bunker. It wasn't, you know, it's not the bunker we come to know and love and sometimes say, okay, let's just get out of a damn bunker. But I think it's interesting that, you know, they did have a good setup, and it's a light tease for me just of the excitement of when the boys will eventually find the bunker itself, which we're still a ways away from.
Yeah, I thought the same thing, Chris. When they eventually find the underground library, I thought, oh, yeah, this is, I mean, it kind of look and feels like the bunker. And yeah, it does kind of tease that. Samuel Colt's journal is something that I think is, it's massive. That's a massive artifact. And I was questioning myself, Chris, do they reference this journal again? In my immediate memory, I can't actually remember the next time they use it or reference it, but you got to think, this guy is a legend. You and I have talked about, you know, you can make an entire show off of this guy. I mean, to be a hunter in the time that he lived and to create the cult, such a legendary weapon, and the Devil's Gate, like, this guy was, I mean, he's the godfather of hunting, I think you could say. So To find his journal, absolutely massive. And then beyond that, Chris, to find a mention of a phoenix in the journal, well, that's just, it's the perfect way to tie in the A plot. Like we said, they need to kill Eve. Apparently, phoenix ashes can do it. Who might have come across that type of weapon? Well, of course, it's the best hunter to ever live, right? Samuel Colt. So I love the tie-in. It felt very natural to me. And of course, how are we going to get to Samuel Colt? Well, we have to go back into the past, right? And we have an angel that can do that. So it felt very organic and it flowed really well for me. It is a fun B-plot episode in that they have a lot of fun in the Wild West, right? Like you said, Dean gets to have a lot of fun. Most of that episode doesn't really matter. It's kind of them getting to traverse in this world. But the reason they're there makes a lot of sense. The people they meet makes a lot of sense. The weapon itself makes a lot of sense. So I don't have a problem with this episode at all, because what we're taking away from it, it just fits so perfectly into the overall season six arc. And so it's a lot of fun. We have to talk about Cass a little bit, though, Chris. This is kind of the piece to the episode that is a plot, Chris, but it's separate from the boys' A plot, right? We started to talk about Castiel's arc at just a couple episodes, and that something's up with Cass, right? Cass is being kind of shady lately. And we introduce an angel who goes by the name of Rachel. And she shows up early in the episode instead of Castiel, because the boys ultimately are going to ask Cass to send them back to the past. But Rachel shows up instead, and she's very dismissive of them. And she kind of puts them in their place, Chris. She says, you know, you guys only call Cass when you need something. Like, he's busy. We're fighting a war up here. And they give her a lot of attitude back. But I thought, hey, good for you, Rachel, because you're not wrong. Like, yeah, there's a huge conflict in heaven right now. And the boys have been kind of greedy. And, you know, Castiel shows up anyway and ultimately grants the boys their wish. But Rachel is yet another piece to the mystery that is, what is Castiel up to right now? And why does he seem so shady? And we're going to get the answer at the end of this episode. But I just wanted to mention the inclusion of another angel to call him out on this really, for me, was the best way to uncover that mystery a little bit more. We already saw it a couple episodes prior with not a Reaper, Chris, but one of the Fate sisters, right? She called Castiel and his shit earlier too, and that gave us, the audience, a little bit of a clue. We're doing that further with an angel, one of his own, right? And if one of his own is questioning him, then we as an audience really need to start questioning him. So I really love the inclusion of Rachel in this episode.
I think it's a fair statement that the boys do only call when they need him. They don't just say, hey, what's up?
No, never.
I'm not sure that most people would just call their angel friend to say, hey, what's going on and how can we help you in heaven? Because he's pretty much said you can't. But right. But it's still a fair argument. Now, as we talk about the boys in this one, they're going to get sent back. I'm just going to briefly gloss over. They pick out some clothes. The clothes are clearly really bad choices. Yeah. It's kind of funny. Dean in particular looks like is the one who kind of gets mocked. Like, no one really is fazed by Sam's look. It's Dean who, when they get back there, the people are like, why are you wearing a blanket? Mm-hmm. And it goes to show, as much as Dean loves the Wild West, he likes that in the movies. He's not reading
right. The
books of actual history about the Wild West. So mm-hmm. I thought it was funny. You know, you've got a guy who says, you're not knowledgeable in the Wild West. Well, no, I mean, Dean really isn't. He knows gunslinger movies, right? That's right. What he knows. In this particular situation, Castiel does agree to send them back, says he gives them 24 hours, and then he goes off to do his business. That's important because he's the one who's planning to bring them back. If he doesn't bring them back 24 hours, they're stuck there. Fairly standard fare at this point, mm-hmm. but this has never been an issue to this point.
Right.
Just put that out there. So ultimately, what happens is the boys end up basically in a world where the cult has not been seen in over 4 years. And he's been building a railroad about 20 miles away in the middle of nowhere. Now we know what this is, which is kind of cool, right? Mm. We know exactly what he's been up to, and that's the Devil's Trap. We know about this in Southern Wyoming from season 2. Such a cool callback to that season 2. and that really huge devil's trap that he built. Now, he's not been seen. So the question here is, how is he involved in this? How was he ever involved in this? The boys aren't sure. But the ultimate situation here is the boys need this phoenix. So they're going to need a Colt. They're going to need Samuel Colt. They're going to need the ashes. So they have to make sure they're there for this to happen. They've been sent back with enough time to get it, but not that much time. Like the time between the event, grabbing the ashes, and getting back in 24 hours is really tight. So they've got a tight timetable to work with. But historically speaking, this happens. So it shouldn't be an issue, right? I mean, that's at least what they think. That's not the case.
Yeah, that's the conflict, right? They assume they'll show up and the phoenix will already be dead, pile of ashes. They scoop it up and they're done, right? Not the case, though. They get there. No one's seen this guy, Colt. So, okay, what do we do? And the puzzle sort of unfolds in front of them, Chris. Like, people just start dropping left and right. And that leads them down this goose chase of basically hunting a ghost. And the phoenix itself, Chris, is a monster we haven't seen before, but it's very unique. It's not actually a bird, like you might assume, or at least it's not taking the form of a bird in this episode. This is a cable television show. That's to be expected, right? Of course, it's going to be a person that sort of embodies the spirit of the phoenix, right? But it's a very cool monster in that it can't be killed easily, right? It's affected by iron. We know that. We learn it later in the episode. And aside from the Colt, Chris, we're not really sure what kills this thing. Luckily for them, they have the gun that can kill just about all monsters, right? Except for five things, if I remember correctly, from season five. There's only five things that the Colt can't kill. But the phoenix is very interesting, and I like the way that the puzzle unfolds, like I said. The fact that we walk into Frontierland, and there's a guy being hung, and that guy ends up being the phoenix all along. It felt like a very unassuming story, Chris. Nothing felt obvious to me. Everything felt surprising. The only thing I didn't like about the plot here, Chris, is that I didn't feel the time crunch enough. You just mentioned like they only have 24 hours. I already forgot they only have 24 hours. It never occurred to me that they only had that amount of time, because they never felt rushed in this episode. I don't know if you feel the same, but I kind of wish they had mentioned that a little bit more, or like they looked stressed, you know, or because like, look, Sam has to get on a horse. He rides horseback across the country, randomly trying to find Samuel Colt. Like, that just seems like such a risk to me. So that's the only issue I have with this episode, which is if they are so short on time, I wish I personally felt stressed for them. But to me, it felt like they had all the time in the world. I don't know. Did you feel that way too? Did you forget?
You hit on the nail on the head, which was Sam going across. I enjoyed the fun, but Dean was having a little too much fun.
Right.
A little too much fun.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Sam was off riding on a horse. I don't know, but I've ever seen. You could see Sam try to do this. Like, he's not experienced horseman here, right?
No,
there is the Walker joke in there. Walker Texas Ranger joke in there. But I will just say, like, yeah, I ask, if I have a complaint about this episode, it's that I kind of let it go. I have to admit, because I was enjoying the episode so much, but I agree with you. I think they wanted it to be fun. I think they wanted that vibe, which is probably why they didn't do that. But the reality was they had 24 hours and Sam had to ride like 11 miles, I think it was, or something on a horse.
Yeah.
Which that's far, right? I don't know. And I don't know how, again, it depends on the horse that you are riding. Some horses are going to be stronger, be able to keep up the speed longer than others, mm-hmm. but 11 miles is not a short distance for a horse. At some point it's going to be, you know, not a fast pace, right? So interesting. Not to mention when Sam arrives, and we could talk about this, on Sam's part of mission, he eventually gets there. He finds Colt, who's just killed demons. And we get to see this, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
We find him and he says he's retired, you know, and ultimately Sam kind of reads him and they have a nice conversation. They connect really quickly. And I love the fact that Sam says, I'm from the future. And Sam Colt's like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Like Sam Colt's just like, all right, I've seen it. And this I'm okay with. I imagine someone has an issue with this, but I'm so okay with this because the Boys deal with such weird stuff. It's only logical that Samuel Colt has dealt with strange things. It's like, all right, sure.
Yeah.
Guy from the future who's a hunter. That makes sense. It happens. Yep. Mm-hmm. And there is that great reveal that, well, I'm not going there, but here's the gun. Like, to me, that's just a neat moment that you realize now in that conversation that, well, Dean is off dealing with, you know, people being burned to ashes by this Phoenix, that Sam's one job arguably is harder, which is riding across the country and getting the Colt. Or getting, because we think it's getting Samuel Colt, but it's getting the Colt, period. Really, that's what this is about, because Dean's going to need that Colt.
Yeah, and can I just say, Samuel Colt, love the actor who plays that character. I love the little hut that he's hanging out in, Chris. Like, I look at Samuel Colt, and you have to think the same for Sam. When he looks at Samuel Colt, that's his hero, right? He even says that much. You are a legend in my time. When he gets there, he's no better than Bobby, right? A bit of a drunk. His place is a mess. Like, he doesn't care about anything other than hunting. Like, he's very single-minded. Yeah, I mean, you sort of expect, and Chris, you and I have talked about Samuel Colt since he's been introduced in the show. You build the image up of him in your head. And certainly as an actual hunter like Sam and Dean are, you would imagine he's this really polished, you know, brash, confident guy. But Sam gets there and he's like, no, I'm retired. I don't care. Like, I'm not helping you. You know, it's like that fantasy sort of shatters in front of Sam's eyes. And I love that they did that. And I love that we get as much time with Samuel Colt that we do. I was sort of expecting, I don't know, 30, 60 seconds. But Sam has like a real conversation with him. And I thought that was really, it was worth the screen time, Chris. It really was. Because ultimately, that's why they're there, right? To get the ashes. But really, they wanted to get Samuel Colt. Like, their eyes light up when they find his journal in the beginning of the episode. So the fact that Sam gets to have a conversation with him, I thought was really, really cool and worth the effort.
And I'm so glad that Sam gets that moment, because
yes,
Dean has had such good time travel experiences, like yes, cool moments. Like, that's what Dean gets to be sheriff. Okay, let's not gloss over it. Dean gets to be sheriff. Right. Like, Dean's living this up. Like, he's gonna have a shootout. Yeah. Like, you know, he's doing all that. But Sam gets the conversation with Samuel Colt. And to me, that, and I think he's the right person for it.
Agreed.
He's not too brass. Sam has built a relationship with him in this short span of time. And that plays out at the end of this episode in such a key way. Mm-hmm. So I think it's huge. And I just want to point that I am very glad that Sam gets it. Let's talk Dean. Because Dean, ultimately, look, all these people, Judge Mortimer gets burnt to ashes by this Phoenix character. The Phoenix is, I thought that actor did a great job as the Phoenix. Like, yeah, he's not really killing bad, you know, good people. You know, he's what he's doing. And Dean basically says it straight up. We just kind of need your ashes. Like,
right.
This is the reality. This is what we need. It's the situation we're in. These guys don't seem great. No, but we need your ashes. So this is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, to watch that. And Dean, once he puts that sheriff badge on, like, there's a moment there. Again, I think he has just a lot of fun with this. Maybe too much fun, but he's enjoying himself.
Yeah, he's living out a childhood fantasy, right? Which is cool, because Dean didn't get to have much of a childhood. So the fact that he gets to, like, actually play sheriff, like, not just make-believe, he got to actually be a sheriff in this time, was pretty awesome. And a lot of the fantasy is broken in this episode. Like, the whiskey sucks. The saloon isn't as cool. It's like really dusty and broken down. And
he's not too happy with the ladies in the saloon.
Darla,
which is hilarious. But again, a lot of it, actually, if you go back, if you think about it, it's so funny. There's some accuracies, actual accuracies here, which is this, a lot of it is very much what that is like. And I have limited my historic knowledge of anything is actually more pirate based. I have a large collection of books about the history of piracy. This made me want to go into the history of Western times, because I kind of want to know what's accurate and what's not accurate to those times. Like, in the pirate world, walking the plank was not really a thing. What is not true? Like, were shootouts really a common thing? Not a common thing. I don't have all these answers, but that's the kind of thing, like, I don't want to live in the Dean world of like the Westerns, like, oh yeah, it's a shootout every day at noon, you know, like that's because in Dean's mind, that's what this is. But he gets to be in a shootout, Dan. That's the great moment in this is he's in a shootout with the Colt, which it's such a Dean thing.
Yeah.
And it's neat. And it goes to what we were talking about earlier. It didn't turn out exactly as they expected. They had to go back and make this happen, to which Samuel Colt will eventually write about it.
Right. Yeah. It's sort of a Back to the Future thing, right? They had to create this in order to experience it later on to then create it. It's sort of a loop, right? And I like that little twist that what they're reading about was actually something they already did. And Dean wins the shootout, of course. We get like a sort of a better version in the opening of the episode, which I thought was really cool, Chris. We'll talk about the credits in the opening scene just in a minute here in our trivia section. But Dean wins the duel, and right before they grab the ashes, Cass zaps them back. And we have to talk about this, Chris. Cass is injured, and he says that he needs to touch Bobby's soul to get them back. Kind of sketchy. The fact that Bobby would agree to this also, I mean, Bobby loves Sam and Dean, right? That's what it comes down to. But kind of shady. Who? And I'll ask you, Chris, who was the last person to leverage Bobby?
Oh, that is none other than a certain demon king of hell now. So yeah,
that's right. So
shady as hell. Mm-hmm. When you think about it, his soul's been messed with enough times. Bobby doesn't want that anyone touching that thing.
Exactly. Yeah. So the fact that Castiel does touch it should be a massive, massive red flag. So anyway, they get them back, and Dean obviously is really bummed out that, you know, they went through all of this and they didn't get the ashes, like shit. But then the doorbell rings and it's a package and it's for Sam. And of course, Chris, we forgot about the BlackBerry, the thing that, you know, Sam was able to convince Colt that he was from the future. He had left in the past. And so he gets this package and it includes the BlackBerry. And of course, it also includes the ashes. So mission complete. Also, Chris, they're getting a freaking package from Samuel Colt. I mean, that's like to meet your hero, right? Your idol. That's one thing. To then get like an artifact from him that they can now treasure forever. You have to imagine it lives in the bunker later on in the series. Like, such a cool ending, I thought.
And then now they have Phoenix. I have to imagine they don't use all these ashes.
Like, right.
So they probably use them sparingly. So now they've got Phoenix ashes, which
so cool.
Which, you know, I'm sure is a useful thing to have and, you know, spare in their world. So
absolutely.
Let's talk about trivia though. So that opening sequence, is showing a map being burned through its center to reveal the Supernatural logo, which is exactly like the TV Western Bonanza in 1959. I have heard of that show, never watched it, but that's a pretty neat reference and well done. We've seen them do this with the X-Files style reference and other stuff. So I love when they do this with the opening title sequence.
Yeah, I do too. And you have to imagine this is like one of the shows maybe that Dean watched as a kid. Like maybe John stuck this on the TV for them, right? And this is the kind of thing that Dean was watching. And that's his impression of a Western and what he thought the actual Wild West would be like. Here's a big one, Chris. And they don't touch on this at all. And maybe it's not obvious to most, but the barkeeper in the saloon, his name is Elkins. And you have to go back to earlier in the series, but there was a friend of John, a hunter named Daniel Elkins, who had the Colt originally before vampires came and killed him and took it from him. There's no way that this is a coincidence, Chris. Absolutely. Daniel Elkins is an ancestor of this barkeeper Elkins. I mean, there's just no two ways about it. They don't connect the dots for us, Chris, about how this saloon owner actually did get the Colt after this whole thing ended. But Dean shot the guy there, right, in the Wild West with the Colt. It's got to be connected. It's just got to be, right? There's no way this could be a coincidence.
I'm with you. It has to be connected. It makes sense to me. It's like one of those little cute Easter eggs that you add. I'm with you completely. The other thing I mentioned is before, Sam is introduced as a Walker, Texas Ranger. Jared, of course, playing that role now. So that's kind of funny how that works out. And then Dean later in this will say, say Candygram for Mongo to get a guy to open the door. This is a direct reference to Blazing Saddles, which we've talked about before, when the sheriff is trying to trick a person. It's the second reference. The other one, of course, being the French Mistake, which we just spoke about. Really great episode. It's probably our last nine of a season, but at this point, I don't know. I honestly don't want to even say that because there might be another nine. I honestly am not aware at this point, but I didn't expect four of them. So excited. Next week though, Dan, Mommy Dearest is going to be the episode we talk about, and we're taking on Eve. So here it is, taking on Eve, which means, by the way, if you think about this, if you're watching at the time, taking on Eve and you've still got a few episodes left in the season, which means there is more to come with Castiel. And there is. I mean, that is going to be at the heart of all of this. So we're going to go take on Eve next week, though, Dan. Excited about that. Let's let everybody know, though, where they can find us, because I know, obviously, super active on Reddit. We see a lot of great engagement there. So tell everybody what we've been up to.
Yeah, Back on the Hunt Pod. You can find us on Twitter. You can find us on Threads. You can find us on Reddit. We're just creating weekly threads, trying to engage the community in just really fun conversations. What's your favorite character that only appears in one episode, as an example? We're just trying to revisit the show as a whole. There's just so much with this show, Chris. 15 seasons. It's a massive, massive series. It's really fun to revisit some of those episodes or characters that you don't think about very often. And it's fun to engage other Supernatural fans. If you don't have any other friends that watch the show, we appreciate you listening to the podcast, but go one step further. Join in on the conversation. You never know. Chris and I pull out comments and include them on the show all the time. So if you're interested in engaging with us, be sure to do that on Reddit, Twitter, and Threads. And of course, subscribe to the show. You'll know exactly when we drop each episode, which is typically on Tuesdays. But with that, Chris, I think that's it. I'm excited about Mommy Dearest. We've been talking about Eve for a long time. So the fact that we actually have the boys confront her for the first time, it's interesting. And like you said, there's going to be, what, three more episodes after next week. So it's going to be interesting to see how the pace is, Chris. Like, how well are these next few episodes paced? Are they going to be too rushed? Are we going to try to compensate for all of these like fun episodes? We enjoyed today's episode, Chris, but is that at the expense of wrapping the season up? I don't know yet. It's something we'll have to consider when we start to cover these last few episodes, but nonetheless, I'm excited to talk about them with you next week and beyond.
Well, I will say that will be it for this week. So thank you for listening, but we will be back because after all,
we've got work to do.